This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday, the 24th of December. Merry Christmas Eve, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Merry almost Christmas.
Merry almost Christmas. Do you know what? I feel like I've been counting down to Christmas since about the start of the month.
Every morning.
Every morning, right, here on The Morning Run. And yet, do you know what? I still haven't bought anything. I still haven't done my Christmas shopping. I have one day left to do it.
I feel at this point you should stop telling all of us because it really, really just doesn't sound good, Lindmark.
I mean, I'm sure there's someone out there who, you know, who's going to listen to this and say, you know, okay, that's relatable. I also need to get my Christmas shopping done still.
Do you empathize with Lindmark? Let us know on Twitter, BFM Radio.
And speaking on Christmas gifts and all that, I do recall one of the best Christmas gifts that I ever got in BFM was from you, Lynn.
Yes,
it was very
beautifully
wrapped diary. And for some reason, you knew that I like diaries. And so you bought me one and it was a very beautiful diary and also the really lovely packaging.
Yes, Noel was my first Secret Santa giftee when I came to BFM. I did my market research. That's all I'll say.
Yes, and of course I had to inquire who was my Secret Santa and somebody gave the game away.
Okay, yeah. Actually, we just had our office Secret Santa recently and it's always quite fun. We were talking, I think, just the day before the Secret Santa exchange about, you know, how other people don't like these kinds of holiday gift exchanges because it can be very passive-aggressive. But no, actually, I think here in BFM, it became quite almost very wholesome, really. It was just a lot of fun. And I still don't know who my Secret Santa is, but thank you very much for the lipstick that I got.
And for the second year running, I also don't know who my Secret Santa is, and it kills me on the inside. But you know what doesn't kill me? Christmas songs. Christmas songs are great. And we're going to talk about some of my favorite Christmas songs. Okay, fine. We're going to talk about some of all-time favorite Christmas songs, not just about me this morning. And we'll be doing that in a little bit. And, you know, let us know what your favorite Christmas songs are, because there's a long list of them.
And well, speaking about songs, maybe you'll be listening to them at home. Apparently, most Malaysians prefer spending Christmas at home. And I think this most Malaysians would include me as well.
All right. And if you want to weigh in on those conversations, remember you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And if you're like me and you've been a bit of a last minute shopper this Christmas, the next story that we'll be talking about is for you because we're going to be talking about how shoppers can take control of the gift journey this Christmas. Be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Feliz Navidad by Jose Feliciano. And earlier, Frosty the Snowman by The Ronettes. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. Now it is Christmas Eve and unless you are a huge procrastinator like me, you've already gone out and done your Christmas shopping. And the question is, I guess, you know, this year, how is it that you actually went about doing your Christmas shopping? Because there is an interesting article in the Financial Times looking at how retail has changed and how the last minute Christmas shopping market has changed as a result. Because, you know, years ago, it used to be that for those of us who ran out to the stores on Christmas Eve for that last minute couple of presents, you were really at the mercy of the retail stores because you had no other choice but to go to the high street or to the super or to the big superstores to get your presents. But now with online and e-commerce platforms, that's no longer the case.
Yeah, this article is actually very, very interesting. And it's actually very good for anyone who's interested in retail because it describes how retail has changed over the last 100 years from the times of when sales basically were considered a stunt back in 1966. This was written in the Financial Times.
That wasn't 100 years ago.
Right? Yeah, I know. But, you know, you got Selfridges, which was started in 1892 or something like that. I have the numbers mixed up. Oh, no, the 1890s was the first Christmas stock clearance. And then about 70 years later, it was called, sales were called stunts. And now we've got Black Friday. So maybe not a stunt. But, you know, it just describes how consumers have gone from being just sheep being herded into a store to basically it's called the consumer funnel. So, I mean, I hear that and I think, yeah, let's funnel everyone into this store into going online, into being advertised on social media, but also how, while the smartphone has changed all of that, it has also armed consumers, because I bet everyone here listening to this has gone into a store, looked at something, didn't believe what they read, walked out of the store or in the store itself, take out your phone and review, check out the reviews online. And that has changed the way marketing to consumers is products to consumers, because it's no longer linear. It's no longer get you to the store, the salesperson tells you what is happening, and then you buy something.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Christmas gifts, I don't tend to still buy online, because unless I know what I am in for, because sometimes what comes from an online store may be quite different from what you expect, but unless it's something that's a known gift. But lately, I think I've been really reviewing my choices and looking at maybe buying from social enterprises, mm-hmm. buying from local communities. They may be a bit more expensive than, say, a normal chocolate, for example, but I think that's the kind of direction that I'm going towards. And in fact, thinking about it, maybe I should buy people shares instead of like material gifts, right? Because the shares would have the potential to grow in value.
I wholeheartedly agree with you there, Noel. Sorry, I almost called you Xiaoning. So used to that. But yes, I wholeheartedly agree with buying shares. What shares? That's a whole different conversation. But, you know, just this one paragraph here in the article, I'm just going to read it out because it just exemplifies how retail has changed so much. It begin the paragraph. Meanwhile, the customer journey has become increasingly twisty. This Christmas, I have browsed for and bought presents on foot, online, on the phone, and via email. While in the office, in bed, at the breakfast table, and in the train to and from work, I've clicked and collected, picked up from the post office, ordered from delivery to home and office, and bought gifts from stores, stalls, and department stores. I mean, just that, the choice the consumers have, it's really, it can be paralyzing sometimes.
Yeah, it can be like a full-time job now.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, first of all, I applaud this author for their dedication to buying Christmas presents. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here with not a single one having been bought yet. But it really just shows exactly as you said, Rishan, you know, the sheer amount of choice that people have nowadays. But I happened to be on social media yesterday, and a couple of my friends were discussing discussing Christmas shopping, and retail in the online space has changed, because some of them were saying, you know, just like 3 years ago, Amazon was their go-to for presents. You know, they would come Christmas time, their living rooms would be full of Amazon boxes. And now that's no longer the case. You know, they haven't bought something from Amazon in maybe a year. So all of their Christmas shopping is from either individual retail stores that have an online shipping option, or it's from smaller enterprises, other e-commerce platforms. So even that online space is undergoing its own unique transformation.
Yeah, I think more choices is always a good thing, but it can be also very overwhelming, right? And maybe tiring too.
Analysis paralysis, yeah.
Yeah.
I've had that happen to me, of course. I've walked into a store, gotten paralyzed by the analysis of the various products and walked out without buying anything. I've done this multiple times.
Do you buy for yourself or do you buy for other people?
Oh, both. Because the opportunity cost and the fear of better options is very, very strong. So I will go into a bookstore and be like, oh, I can't choose between these two books. And I walk out because I can't choose. Because I don't want to make a wrong purchase, right? I'd rather make no purchase than make a wrong purchase.
See, when it comes to books, and whenever I'm faced with that problem and I'm buying for someone else, my solution is always to just buy both. And then I keep the one that I don't give away.
See, that's not very ringing in sense right there, Lynn. Because I go in there with a set budget and I'm like, okay, I've got 50 ringgit or 100 ringgit, I can buy one book with this. What do I buy?
And I ask that question, do you buy for yourself? Because sometimes we impose ourselves like, oh, I would like this book. I think my friend would like this book too.
Oh, in that sense, right. Yeah, yeah. So I'm always trying to think about the other person and what they like and what sort of books they read, because I know what books I like, so I kind of have that list going on. But that's a good way to think about it. Sometimes actually I buy books that I really like for other people, because you want to spread the love there. And I've done that a few times and it's so far been successful.
Well, do let us know what you think. Tell us how tech has changed the way you shop for Christmas. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are going to be coming up on a few messages, and then after that, we'll be taking a look at some festive Christmas songs. So be sure to stay tuned at BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. And that song, of course, needs no introduction. That was Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. And do you know what, guys? This song was released in 1994, and only 3 days ago, it finally made it to the number one spot on the Billboard Hot 100 charts. And so this is a song that has endured for 25 years. And the Daily Digest actually took a look at this and spoke about this yesterday. So if you want to listen to that conversation, you can find it on the BFM app as well as on Spotify. But I guess for us, it really just exemplifies the spirit of Christmas for me. And It Christmas songs are such a huge part of the season. I was just wondering, what are your favorite Christmas songs that you like to listen to?
Well, first and foremost, if that song doesn't get you into Christmas mood, nothing will. Nothing on earth will get you into Christmas mood.
I have a confession, which is that you know, when the song was playing in the studio and all the mics were off, I was just happily dancing.
Yeah,
in the corner.
Yeah, we were dancing to it, right?
Everyone was bopping to it.
It instantly
right?
made me happy. Now, my other favorite songs include sorry about that. It's Beginning to Feel a Lot Like Christmas by Michael Bublé, that version. And there's also, I think it's a Run DMC hip-hop. There are a few hip-hop music songs that I quite enjoy. Just saying
Christmas
hip-hop.
Version?
Christmas versions,
oh,
yes.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
And I can't remember the few others, but there's definitely, it's those two that are my favorites. All I Want for Christmas, and It's Beginning to Feel a Lot Like Christmas.
As I say that,
the song is playing in my head.
What about you, Noel?
Well, the two songs are definitely All I Want for Christmas Is You. That is really an all-time favorite. But longer than that, it's Last Christmas by Wham.
Oh, nice.
I mean,
that's a nice
beat
choice.
Is just unbeatable.
Now I have that stuck in my head. Thank you very much for that, Noel.
I hope we can play that after.
Yeah. Going back into time, actually, the other one I really enjoy is Let It Snow by Dean Martin.
Yes. Dean Martin, Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra. You know,
all of them, basically.
All of them, basically. For me, I have a huge soft spot for the carols, because I used to be in a choir as a kid. So Christmas carols were just basically amazing fun. So things like O Holy Night, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. But what makes a good Christmas song to you? Because, you know, every artist out there has at some point in their lives put out a Christmas album. And they give, you know, old familiar songs a new treatment. So what for you actually makes that successful?
I think in the case of Last Christmas, why it's been so, it has that longevity with me, the lyrics are kind of sad, but it's just the beats, right? I just cannot find a better beat than that. So I think it's about that catchy beat for me. But some of these Christmas songs can be quite melancholic. So I think what really does it for me is that catchiness.
I think for me, it's just about that Christmas feel, right? The same thing that makes a good Christmas song is the same thing that makes a good Star Wars movie. It's the feel. It's the feeling. Anyway, I will not digress into Star Wars right now. That's a
no,
very
haven't watched it. No spoilers.
Very divisive issue. But I think it's down to the feel. And also, and I hate to admit it, but it's also programming, right? It's years and years and years of teaching us what Christmas feels like. And that's why it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas, with the bells in the background and the visualization of snow is an incredible Christmas song, because it feeds into the narrative that we've been fed all our lives.
I can tell you one thing. A question that I often get is your favorite song the first Noel? That's a question I always get, especially during Christmas time. But the answer is no.
Yeah, oh, I can man. Imagine. I have people just come up and started singing it to you at Christmas time for no reason.
So what makes a Christmas song for you, Lynn?
For me, I think it is It's the nostalgia attached to the song. So that's why I like carols, because for me, it comes with memories of, you know, singing with friends, of Christmas parties in the house. And that is what keeps me going back to the same songs over and over again. So I do like the, you know, the poppy, upbeat Christmas songs, but they're not my favorites for just that reason. But the question, I guess, this is a question just by virtue of the fact that we are here in Malaysia and not in some place where we actually do have, you know, winters and four seasons and, you know, all of the snow and pine trees and snowmen attached to Christmas. You know, does that fact detract from Christmas songs for you? Because, you know, like the song White Christmas, I actually had no idea what I was singing about when I was first singing White Christmas as a kid, because I didn't have a concept of what a White Christmas was.
But as a child, do you really understand whatever you're singing, any of the pop songs? If you really go back in time now and think about all the songs you sang as a child, you would be horrified.
Yes, I think in the 1980s, what would I know about, you know, what's happening in Last Christmas, right? I mean, you know, I wouldn't be able to get that kind of sentiment, but, you know, it's just that favorite song for me.
Yeah, it's the feel, right? And to a large part, I guess, the programming and the Christmas colonization that has happened over the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah, and, you know, there is the accusation or allegation that Christmas has become a Hallmark holiday, right, because of the commercialization that has come up around it. But at the end of the day, I do think that, I do feel like Christmas is basically about the spirit of getting together, right, and giving presents and appreciating some of the people around you. So, you know, what's really so bad about that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. And on my bucket list is to visit the Santa Claus village in, I think, up north in Finland.
There's a Santa Claus village up
north.
Yes,
there is.
Finland.
You can put that on your bucket list too.
All right, duly noted. Well, we are heading into the 6:30 news now. You can always tell us what your favourite Christmas song is. But in honour of Noelle Lim and her favourite Christmas song, here is Last Christmas by Wham! BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Alone on Christmas Day by Phoenix and Bill Murray. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Noelle. So, the question is what really we Malaysians are planning to do for Christmas Day, right? Because for some people, Christmas means it's an opportunity to travel. I think a lot of friends and family I know are spending the holidays overseas. But there's an article this morning in The Star, which has a report from the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, or MATA, saying that actually nowadays most Malaysians prefer spending Christmas at home. So they prefer to celebrate it, spending quality time with their loved ones in the comforts of their own living rooms under their own little Christmas tree. So where do you guys stand on this? Do you prefer to spend your holiday traveling or perhaps stay at home on Christmas?
In my case, I prefer to stay at home. A few years ago, I was traveling overseas and it was like sort of over Christmas, and I got stuck at the Hong Kong airport for 48 hours.
Over Christmas?
Yes, the transit point was Hong Kong. And yeah, so that was quite a nightmare. Of course, they put us up in a room, a hotel room and all that, but it's just the whole delay, right? And so I spent Christmas Eve and Christmas in Hong Kong. That was not the intended destination. So ever since then, I realized that traveling over Christmas is really not a good idea, because people at the airport, many people take leave, and airport, you know, it can be quite busy. So, and because of that, it just adds to the delay, right? I think there were some problems with the plane. And of course, it's safer to discover it when the plane's on the ground. But the point is, you know, there's a shortage of staff in the airports and customer service may not be at its best during that time. So, yeah, so ever since then, I decided I'll just stay at home, or I'll travel much earlier and come back much later.
Noelle, you've sold this idea to me. I'm never traveling in peak period ever again.
But can I also just highlight, it's safer to discover a problem if the plane is on the ground. I feel like that is the biggest understatement.
Yeah, it's the biggest blessing.
Yeah. What about you, Roshan?
Actually, even before Noelle scared me out of traveling during peak seasons, I've always enjoyed Christmas at home. I think it's the best time. It's the end of the year. And generally, a lot of the family comes down for this time. It's the time just before school or university back then started. It's just much nicer to be at home. To be fair, I'm not a big fan of traveling. I don't like the planes and the cars and the passport immigration. I don't like any of that. The only thing I'd love to do, I guess, during Christmas is do a hill holiday. Go up to Fraser's or Cameron Highlands, something like that. Either week before, week after, not during the festive period. And enjoy the coolness of a hilly weather and warm hot chocolate. Again, we were talking about this earlier. It's the programming that it was instilled in me as a child that Christmas means these certain things. So cool weather, sweaters and hot chocolate. And I think ideally, I would like to drive up to a hill and do that.
Actually, strangely that you mentioned that, I've been thinking about going to Genting Highlands one of these days. Not on Christmas Day, but you know, one of these, probably next week.
Morning run trip, I think, in the offing. That sounds like fun. Yeah, so I think I've maybe spent 2 Christmases in my life away from home. And, you know, one of them was at university. And that was, it was fun in its way, but it was also kind of sad in its way, right? Because it was only when I was overseas that I understood why there's so much hype around the Christmas season. Because otherwise, it can be kind of depressing in December in Europe. Because the days are short, the nights are long, and it's cold, it's rainy. So people, you know, ramp up the lights and the carols and all of the, you know, festive Christmas markets to try and cut through some of that otherwise rather gloomy surroundings. And it was fun to experience, but given a choice, I would much rather spend it in lovely hot Malaysia, in my own living room.
So this is exactly what I felt. I think I went to England in 2013 or 2014 when my sister was studying there. And I went for the Christmas month, but I came back to Malaysia for Christmas because initially I wanted to stay there, but I was told that it's incredibly depressing and nothing happens. Basically, the entire country has shut down for that week. And I was not about to stay there. Well, everything was shut down.
Yeah, I think the festive seasons really felt in the week leading up to Christmas, right? Yeah. Where everyone's going about, you know, rushing their Christmas shopping, unlike some people. During this time, I really just take the opportunity to spring clean my house, just get everything in order, get into some mindful state.
Are you also the kind of person that starts thinking about New Year's resolutions at Christmas, Noel?
Yes, I do.
I've given I'm giving Noel a fist bump in the studio now because, you know.
And I'm just shaking my head at the both of you. Can't you just enjoy the Christmas season?
Yeah, by doing our New Year resolutions.
Correct. The year is ending. You're thinking about all the good things in your life. And you're thinking about how you can change next year, how you can improve.
You mean you're thinking about all the resolutions you didn't achieve in 2019?
Who's to say I didn't achieve those resolutions
in 2019? Yes, I achieved mine, you know.
All of yours?
Yes.
Okay, I'm in the studio with 2 amazing unicorns. But nevertheless, this
Thank
is. But nevertheless, do let us know what you think. Do you prefer to spend Christmas at home or away? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are coming up on a few messages and then we'll be taking a look at social media as well as the front pages of the newspapers. So be sure to keep it here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Thank God It's Christmas by Queen, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. Now, thank you very much for your messages this morning. We've had a couple of WhatsApps about the Christmassy subjects we've been discussing. Sylvester Lee says, we'll be spending Christmas at home tomorrow, outsourced the major piece of Christmas lunch, i.e. the roast and some sugar-free cake, and making the remaining vegetables ourselves. We like a quiet and intimate one, and we're really looking forward to Christmas this year. Merry Christmas, crew. Merry Christmas to you too, Sylvester. And yeah, I think that sounds like a nice kind of relaxed Christmas, because sometimes Christmas at home can be like any major event. When you're holding it in the house, sometimes it can get the enjoyment of the holiday can get subsumed by the pressure to, okay, I have to make this, I have to make that, I have to provide dinner for 10 family members who are coming over. So that can wind up being stressful rather than relaxing.
And now with Grab Food and Food Panda and all these delivery services, I think eating in at home is definitely, a very doable thing these days.
Yeah, it does sound like a great way to spend Christmas and well thought out. Well, good plan there. Lack of procrastination, unlike some other people in the studio today, this morning.
Okay, so obviously the fact that I haven't bought my Christmas presents is now going to be I'm going to be the butt of the joke. Okay, fine. I embrace it. Jeremy and Ro have both WhatsApped in with their favorite Christmas songs. So Jeremy's favorites are An Old Christmas Card by Jim Reeves and My First Christmas Without Daddy. Rose is Do They Know It's Christmas by Live Aid. So he says, perhaps not the best, but a song for him which best captures the Christmas spirit. Actually, speaking of Christmas songs, a very quick Christmas fact for you. Did you know that Jingle Bells was the first song ostensibly to be played in space on a harmonica and bells by 2 astronauts in 1965?
Wow. Okay, that's a fun fact. I wouldn't call it. I mean, it's a fact. I wouldn't say it's fun, but
it is fun. I found it while I was just reading an article on Christmas songs, as you do.
Well, another fun fact is a former German ambassador to Malaysia. He's the descendant of the composer of Silent Night.
Oh. Wow, we are really, this round of fun facts.
And of course, I had to ask him, does your family still earn royalties from that song? And he said, no, I think because it's just way too many years ago.
Yeah, probably. Okay, well, that round of fun facts concluded. Let's also take a look at the front pages of the newspapers. So I have the Star in front of me. And honestly, guys, the first thing I thought of when I looked at this front page was that, wow, it must have been a really slow news day. Because the Star's front page has gone with the headline, Monkey Troopers. And initially I thought, Cyber Troopers? Is this some kind of new term? No, it's monkeys. A long-standing pest problem at oil palm plantations is apparently set to be solved with the use of the pigtailed macaque as a biological control. So that's the front page of the Star. What else do we have?
You sound disappointed.
Well, in the NST, not really front page, but actually it's front page and page two. So water woes linked to apathy and lack of willpower. So FOMCA has taken to task the government and others responsible for not having an action plan. And so these were some words that FOMCA said, that the problem is because people are sleeping on the job. And that's why we have this water cuts now. I think apparently there was a dumping of illegal waste at the inlet around Indawater's consortium's plant, and so that led to the closure of the Sungai Semene water treatment plant, and hence some areas are going to experience water cuts during this Christmas season.
Yeah, that's not a particularly festive news, unfortunately. So if you're experiencing water cuts, do let us know. We'll be interested to find out.
And I've got the Edge Financial Daily in front of me. And I think the biggest corporate news today, the headline, BNM approves Bank Pembangunan Dana Jamin merger talks. We'll be covering this later around 7:15. But it's basically, this is the first step towards, I think, consolidating a lot of the DFIs that we have in the country. And that's what will be interesting to talk about that. But below that, we have a headline that courtesy of the MEF, the minimum wage will add to 2.5 billion ringgit in outflows annually because foreign workers will be sending more money overseas. That's a claim anyway by the Malaysian Employers Federation in a story on page 3 of the Financial Daily.
All right, and just taking a look also at the Star. So the Star has also gone with water slowly flowing in as the headline about the Semenya treatment plant on its second page, and also an interesting story on the whole debacle about the Astro Chinese International Pageant 2019 that was called off kind of at the last minute. So DBKL has received some flack over this because people believe that they were the ones to ban the pageant. So the Sintel OCPD has confirmed he only advised the organizer to eliminate the swimsuit segment of the pageant rather than saying any outright ban. But see, this is the problem, right? When advice, and I say advice in you know air quotes, comes from DBKL, I can imagine the organizers must have taken it as a, you know, it must happen.
It's a directive.
It's a directive, because that's what happens in this country. You don't receive a formal letter saying that you have to remove this segment before you have approval. You'll just have someone say, you know, maybe it's better that you do this while your approval process is ongoing.
Well, another piece of news is the police had said that Azila Hadri, his statutory declaration in regards to the murder of Altan Tuya, well, more witnesses are going to be called. Witnesses and individuals will be called to facilitate more police investigation. And I suppose the case is just basically being reopened.
All right, that's indeed good to know. And that is all of the news we have for you from the papers this morning. But don't go anywhere, because in a little while, we will be bringing you the business end of the morning run. And that's going to be happening after the 7 o'clock news and Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.